This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
9:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on vacation down in Florida. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, you can hear him on MLB Network Radio. Our resident general manager, he is Jim Duquette. Good morning to you, Jim.
Hey, Rob, Jeremy, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Last year, the Orioles finished second in the AL East behind the New York Yankees at 91 wins. This year, in the offseason, the Yankees made some moves after whiffing on Juan Soto. You see the Red Sox make moves. You see the Blue Jays made some moves. The Orioles, for the most part, they made a couple of moves, O'Neill and others, but many moves that the fans feel like they should have made, they did not make. Yeah. Where do the Orioles stand, in your opinion, in the pecking order of the AL East right now, as we stand right now?
Yeah, well, you know, it's fascinating because you look at the spending. And they spent $90 million total committed dollars, right? We talked about this. They brought their payroll up, but it's the fourth most in the American League East in terms of spending, right? The Yankees, Red Sox, Jays all spent more money than this winter. Now it's those other teams had further to go to kind of catch the Orioles and really the Yankees, since they are the top two teams in the division. But I think in Boston's case, they've closed the gap. They've closed the gap on both the Orioles and the Yankees, in my mind. They were right at 500. I think they're definitely a much better team after getting Bregman. If they didn't sign Bregman, I would have said, you know what, there's still a distance between those teams, even though Yo's offseason's been, we'll call it tepid. It will be positive here this morning. But, I think overall, those three teams in my mind are going to be fighting it out. And, the division, I look at it, Tampa's going to be, I think, strong again. They had a down year last year, but I think they're healthy now with their pitching. They're always tough. And Toronto, it's hard for me to really embrace everything that they've done, because I just don't think they've done an awful lot, even though they have Santander there. So it's going to be a typical, I think, American League East this year, when last year it really wasn't.
Do you think anything happens with Dylan Cease or Mike King?
It doesn't seem like it, Jeremy. I was wondering, too, after they signed, Nick Pivetta yesterday, but the way they structured the contract, they're having some financial and ownership issues. They really backloaded the contract, so they're only paying, I think, $4 million this year. And because of that, I think that was the idea, was to be able to, keep who they have, at least for now. Now, if they get off to a bad start, then you'll see them move. Or if AJ Preller, their GM, can figure out a trade for one of those guys that gets back major league pieces back, then I think he would do it. But I don't think right now he has to, and I don't think he really doesn't want to. I think it's just one of those things that he's trying to line up something for the short term and the long term, which are hard to do at this time. So if the O's they wanted to get into the mix and give him a major league starter plus kind of like the reverse Corbin Burnes deal, I think AJ Preller would do that, whether it's the Orioles or the Mets, some of the other teams that have kind of kicked the can there, kicked the tires on acquiring him.
Here with Jim Duquette, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. All right, Jim, take us to this. I mean, we know with baseball how the economics go, and it's easy to say, just go spend money. Other teams are spending money. Not many teams can produce that kind of money for guaranteed contracts like some of the bigger markets. How challenging is it for a team that's in a market like Baltimore, or maybe even like Tampa, who's even a smaller market?
The separation between the haves and have-nots is the largest I think I've ever seen in the sport. The Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, they're all going to be over $300 million, their payrolls. They're spent. The Mets spent $1 billion. Committed $1 billion this year. I mean, that's half of what the value of some of these teams are worth. And so competing. Now that doesn't mean they're going to win, but it gives them a lot better chance, and their margin of error is better. That's why I think you're hearing a lot of these owners now talk about trying to institute a salary cap of some kind.
Will that happen? You think that'll ever happen?
I don't think it will. I mean, listen, if it does, we're gonna miss a lot of games in the season. Like that we'll have a lockout, and then we'll have a strike from the player side because they're not gonna. I just don't see them accepting it. Or if they did, it would be like well into the season of games missed. Going back to the 94-95 seasons, or 94 when we had the last strike when we missed games. I don't think the players have any desire to accept it. And that's going to be the bigger problem. I think we're going to have to, without that, I don't think there's any way there'd be a salary cap. And I think you'd have to maybe look at more restrictions on those teams, on their spending, higher taxes on the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, which, I mean, if they want to spend that kind of money, go get them, as long as the money, as long as they're being taxed, and that's being distributed to the other teams. I think that would help. But there's other ways to do it, too, without missing games or without having a lockout.
Hey, Jim, what do you see with Coby Mayo? And we even talked about Kierstead a little bit, because they're in a weird position where you're competing for the division, and you're also trying to find out if these top prospects are going to be players. And I don't know that there's a spot for Coby Mayo right now the way that the team is constructed.
It's hard to see one there, right, Jeremy? I'm with you on that. I mean, if he comes in and has a really good spring, and even if he has a good spring, that's not really a great indicator of whether it's going to help him, whether he's going to have a good start of the season too. And that's the hardest part, even with like we saw with Holiday last year, versus previous years where you don't have, when you're in the middle of a pennant race, and especially in the American League East, and the expectations are where they are, it's hard to have a longer leash with some of these young guys, especially if the other parts of the lineup aren't doing their jobs too, right? So when Adley was struggling, and they had injuries to Westberg, like it made it even more glaring that Holiday was struggling. So that's the pressure that Mayo has too. It's like, all right, well, if he does even make the team, man, if he has a struggle for a period of time and the rest of the lineup is off to a slow start, it becomes more glaring, with his struggles, and harder to keep him at the major league level.
Yeah, it definitely is hard to keep him there. Jim Duquette, thanks a lot, my friend. It's baseball season, man. Let's have some fun.
It's a long winter. Good to be back. See you, boys.
All right, see you, Jim.
That's Jim Duquette, our resident general manager. 410-583-1057 is the number.
How about all the people talking about how yoked Jackson Holiday is coming into camp?
A lot of conversations about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of them. Daily Line with Jeremy Conn at 9:30, but on the other side. And break down Maryland's big win last night over Nebraska right here on The Fan.
And Gary, not known for his three-point shooting, 28%. Miguel will drive in. Missed the shot. And the putback inside is good by Queen, and he's got 10 for the night.
Ball deflected away by Reese and picked up by Miguel.
Numbers.
Terps have got the numbers now.
And wide open is Julian Reese, and jams it home with two hands. Now Juju gets his third basket of the night.
And the Maryland Terps with a big win last night on the road. Man, this was a win for the Terps, their third true road win of the year. They're now 19-6, 9-5 in the Big Ten Conference. Big Ten Conference, while it's not the SEC, it's a very good conference. It's probably the number two conference in America now.
It's so good that it's probably the goodest conference.
Yeah.
And I know that's not proper
not
English, but you get what I'm saying. It's a good conference. It just doesn't compare to the SEC.
Which nothing does. But going 9-5 in the Big Ten means you are legit. It's not like you're 19-6 and you got, you know, all of your non-conference wins. No, this is a Maryland team that's gone 9-5 so far, 3 conference wins on the road, which is huge. You can now stop that scrutiny. You know what I mean? 6 wins at home, 3 on the road right now, and they are a good basketball team. They got double-digit scoring from all their starters. The least amount of points by a starter was Julian Reese with 13 points, but he had 12 rebounds and 2 block shots and played great defense.
He had a block shots and steals mix in there as well.
Yeah,
so
2 block shots and a steal, only committed 3 personal fouls. You're starting to see some things. Selton Miguel, I joked around a little bit earlier, said he never saw a shot that he didn't like. But when you're 5 of 9 for the field and 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, that gets it. What I love about this team, I don't know what Kevin Willard has done, but he's gotten their attention, and they're not just launching up threes. They're taking good 3-point shots. Jeremy, they take 3-point shots on 2 occasions. Inside out, and the dribble up to the line,
mm-hmm.
which I'm in favor of when you talk about guys like Rice and Jacoby Gillespie. Those guys are really good in dribbling up to the 3-point line and setting themselves up. Miguel is more of an inside, come out to me kind of guy and shoot it in the 3-point shot. But I don't know what he's really gotten through to these guys to where they're not shooting the ball all willy-nilly. He got 15 3-point attempts from 3 guys. 3 guys. That's it.
Yeah.
And well, that's why I think the total is down, and that's why the percentage is up, because they're taking their best shots. And that's coaching. To convince guys to buy in to what makes them their best, because sometimes players don't know when they're at their best.
Yeah, I mean, like there's always that thing to be said is, do you want your best 3-point shooter taking a good shot or a good 3-point shooter taking a great shot?
Yeah.
And we always talk about the plus one. I love when players give me the plus one. They've got a decent look, somebody's closing out on them, and they realize somebody has a better look and passes it on. The thing I loved about last night is that you had that silly statement where you said you wanted the Ravens to play a close game and then pull away in the fourth quarter. You remember when you said something silly like that?
I remember I said that.
Yeah, and we all made fun of you, and we all we laughed at Rob. Sorry. No, I'm kidding. But like last night is one of those examples of what you're talking about. They played a game where they faced adversity in the last 2 minutes on the road and found a way to win.
And you want that on your championship resume.
Yes, and I think that's what builds those things. And we talked about early in the season, hey, they can't win on the road. Well, that's clearly changed. Now they're finding ways to win on the road. So it just leads you to believe this team might have a chance to make some sort of run. I know the SEC and Duke, I'll throw them in that mix, are just dominant. But Terps kind of fall into, I mean, they're a top 20 offense and top 20 defensive efficiency team.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of teams like that in college basketball. There's 6 teams like that in college basketball. They're well coached. And the thing that I like, it appears. Now, it's easy to say that when you're winning, but it appears they love playing together. It appears that way.
Yeah.
If they don't, they're fooling us all. They know one another. It seems like to me, Gillespie knows when to get certain guys the ball in certain places. And they fall back allowing Derek Queen sometimes to be Derek Queen.
Yeah.
Get Queen on the ball on the perimeter. Let big man eat. That play he had coming down court when he comes coast to coast, he gets maybe a couple of feet before the 3-point line, whips it around his back, looks off left, and gives it off right to his teammate for the layup. That's your big man doing that, creating that play.
Well, you heard the highlight, the call with Naki talking about him falling to the floor, falling back off of 1 foot and knocking down the shot. I mean, I think his offensive game, I mean, there's 2 guys like Derek Queen with your offensive game. I'm sorry I wasn't familiar with it and how good it can be. and I'd say the same thing when Jacoby Gillespie was at Belmont. Like, man, I do apologize because he is a baller.
Why? He may be one of the more under-recruited guys that I remember in quite some time.
Because
he never looked like he belonged at Belmont.
No offense
to Belmont.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Belmont's had some good teams, but you look at a player like Jacoby Gillespie, and last night it was a key moment. You talk about your backcourt, because a lot of times at the front court, you got to get somebody to get the ball in their hand. It's not every case with front court. You got some bigs that can handle the ball, clearly. But Gillespie last night, after they cut it to 2, hit a big shot. It was a layup. I mean, driving to the basket and finishing at the cup, and it gives you that break point. Because knowing you're up 2 scores, there's a lot of different things you can do. So I just think I think you're seeing them kind of come together. And I mean, it's a shame that Derek Queen's going to be leaving after this year, more than likely, because maybe they could have something special here.
I'll say this, though. Last night, there were a total of 28 fouls called in that basketball game, which isn't a lot. When the ball got in the paint, the referees last night let him play. There was a lot of contact at the baskets last night, and the referees let it go.
Yeah.
There was a lot of contact before guys got the ball in the paint last night, and the referees let it go. I've noticed that, and I also think Kevin Willard knows that. Because when the game is played that way, if you notice, Kevin Willard doesn't complain about it. Because Maryland is at its best when the game is played that way.
Yeah.
Because they've got the big guys in Reese and Queen, but they also have guys like Rodney Rice and Selton Miguel who love contact inside. They love it. So when the refs kind of swallow their whistle on physical play inside, it's advantage Maryland. And Kevin Willard doesn't say a word, whether it goes for him or against him. He doesn't say anything because he knows throughout a 40-minute basketball game, if you're calling it that way, that's advantage us. You may get a couple calls your way, but you don't want to play 40 minutes like that against us because we're too big and we're too athletic. And he wins those type of games.
Yeah. Again, I really like Kevin Willard. I've said this before, and you look at his style. Like, at first, I'm like, are we going to see a team that's more defensive minded? Is it going to be a slower brand of basketball? And it's not. And the thing that I love about it is that just what we talked about, they can get stops on the defensive end and still play an exciting game. That's an exciting brand of basketball that they play. Watching, I mean, I didn't expect them to score as much as they did last night.
Right.
But both teams kind of got after it, and you saw them being more aggressive on offense and just sitting back and waiting for it to come to them.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe LaCroix's Encore and our Black History Moment at 9:45. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to miss those. But on the other side, it's the Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, last night, kind of a weird one because two of the NBA plays we had in the top five, the lines moved so much and changed. So maybe you didn't know whether or not you were on them. I stayed on the plays. We split, so it really didn't matter. Went 3-2 on my top plays. I'll tell you what I like from last night. Couple of spots tonight because it's a very light night. And as Rob told you, on Valentine's Day, we've got Ivy League basketball.
Right, baby.
And I've got a bunch of Ivy League games that I like. Two overs that definitely stand out to me and a couple other plays. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
9 on the shot clock. 2:03 in the game clock. Gillespie will drive in. Reverse with the right hand. Got it! Under the basket. Tremendous play by Jacoby Gillespie. To the corner. Here's Miguel with a floater on the way. Got it! On the baseline for Selton Miguel.
There you go. That's obviously courtesy of the Maryland Radio Network here on 105.7 The Fan. As the Terps, they get it done on the road. I had the under in this game, so it was a loss for me. And again, we saw them just kind of get after it in the first half, making shots. They scored, I think, 70-some in the first half and followed up suit the same way in the second half. So there was no chance for an under there. But, you know, my top play was the Mavericks over, and then guys just started getting ruled out left and right. Bam didn't play. Kyrie's not playing. Klay's not playing. Everybody. But the main reason I was on that game is I thought the Mavs were going to push the pace. And without a big man in the middle, I was talking about Bam Adebayo, but I even said on the air, Khalil Ware could just eat, man. Like, right. You're looking at the situation of the game, and the pace was there. I had the Rockets minus 6.5 for whatever reason, and I didn't see why. If somebody got ruled in for Golden State or if somebody got ruled out for Houston, the line dropped to like 2.5 after we gave it out in the morning. Eventually, it went to 1.5, but the Warriors won that game, so it didn't matter either way. And then also hit on some college basketball games last night. Talked about Delaware. Said, look, you're looking at a situation where Delaware lost by double digits at Towson. Why the hell am I going to tell you to take them plus the 8 when they're at Towson? You know, like, so in Delaware, Towson won by double digits coming home. Thought it was too soon, the 2 weeks apart, that they'd be able to keep this game close. They lost by 5, so guess what? They covered. And then I also hit on Old Dominion, Georgia State to go over That was the other win. So 3-2 of my top plays and actually 3-1 in the leans. Where are we going today with a very lean day? A lot of Ivy League games, one big Big Ten matchup, at least I think it is. And there's another huge game tonight between St. Louis and Loyola, Illinois, and I'll tell you who I like there as well. So let's just run through this. College games, the one I like, and the rest of these are all going to be top plays for me. I like Yale minus 16.5. Yale is a very good team. I don't know if you guys know this. Penn is not. So I think Yale handles business at home. It's a big number, and I don't like big numbers and betting favorites that way. But every once in a while, you're going to find one. I won't be the guy that says I'll never bet big numbers because obviously you can find some value in it. You just worry about how the game is coached once you get that lead. So here's the top plays for tonight. I like Cornell and Harvard to go over the 153.5. You guys have heard me talk about Cornell, one of my favorite teams to watch play. They play fast. They score with the best of them. I'm hoping Cornell gets into the tournament. Team that, I like to watch them play. I think it's a very fun style of basketball.
Right.
And it's the second highest total, I believe, tonight at 153.5. I'm telling you to take the over. The highest total is between Columbia and Dartmouth. And guess what? I'm telling you to take the over there at 161.5. This has a 1.5-point spread, so it should be a close game, which leads you to believe that either way, maybe you're getting some of those free throws down the stretch that you might need to get you over the total. But I don't know that we're going to need it. I think you're going to see these teams score a ton in the first half and a ton in the second half and go over that total of 161.5. I like Indiana a lot tonight as they get UCLA at home. Assembly Hall is a tough place to play. UCLA going on the road at Indiana. Give me Indiana plus 1.5. It's a minor upset if you want to call it that. I do like the way that UCLA has been playing ball. I just think this is a bad spot for him to go here. Nevada and San Jose State under the 135.5. I think looking at the matchup here, Nevada should control the pace of this game. They're the better team. They are on the road. But when you look at Nevada, they do play a lot of low-scoring, plotting games. I've targeted Nevada when they play Air Force because both games are ugly. Both teams play ugly. And ironically, the last time they did go over the total by a few. But I do like the under here. And it's the top game tonight. My favorite play tonight is Indiana, and then I would lean to the Cornell over. But I also really like this game. I can't get past it because it's St. Louis and Loyola Chicago. So when you look at the two teams, there's something to be said about being in a small conference and not knowing how many teams you're going to get into March Madness.
That's grueling, man.
So these two teams they're not the best teams in their conference. There's one that's clearly above them that if they make the run and win their tournament, these teams could be on the outside looking in. I think the possibility of one getting in is very likely. And honestly, this game may decide it. It's at Loyola, Illinois. I think St. Louis is the better team. They're getting 2.5. I like St. Louis to win, so they're going to be a top play for me. My top play is Indiana plus the points, Cornell over, Columbia over, Nevada under, and St. Louis. There you go.
There you go. 410-583-1057. Go ahead, man.
One other thing. Number one versus number two, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Alabama and Auburn. Just looking at it, I would probably lean Alabama the rule of thumb about the SEC and winning on the road. Auburn's on back-to-back road games, picked up a big road win at Vanderbilt. Auburn's the better team, but I don't know that they're the better team tomorrow. I think I'm going to be on Bama, but I reserve my right to change that tomorrow morning when I dive into this.
Yeah, so, man, I can't wait for that. Number one versus number two, Alabama, Auburn. No way in the world you'd tell me that's basketball, not football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's basketball, folks.
It's a rivalry, and it's one versus two.
Yeah. Shh. We're talking Orioles a little bit early today. Chris in Parkville wants to weigh in on that. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Great show, as always.
Thank you, sir.
I was listening to when you were talking to Mr. Duquette on and everything, and one of you gentlemen brought up, developing players, the outlook coming up. I heard some encouraging news about Batista, which was good. But a lot of people, we've talked about this before, too, a lot of football fans are, really starting to watch the Orioles the last couple of years as they just their rise, their very quick renaissance going on here in Baltimore with the baseball team. And a lot of people don't realize the developing, especially if you have a lot of young players on the same team, it's a slower process during the season, especially when it's almost like every day they're playing another game. It's not like football. But I'm really I'm looking forward to it. And you guys have a great weekend. I'm just looking forward to the season.
You too.
Thanks, man. Yeah, look, I think there's a lot to like about this team, and I understand some frustration about not making a gigantic splash in free agency. I don't know that you need to do that with this team, and you have the ability because of, you know, having so many good prospects of moving those guys. Now, until they show you they're willing to do it, I think fans are going to go, well, it's not happening now. I don't think they're going to ever make a trade for someone of substance. They did it last year with Corbin Burns, but again, you got to have the right pieces out there, because if every team has these guys on one-year deals and they're coming and asking for your best prospects, you're going to keep saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, so what are they going to ask for when you get a guy that has 2 or 3 years on a deal?
Two of your best prospects.
It's just unbelievable, man.
I mean, you're not. No one's going to give you anything. They know what you have. They want to get better. The best way for them to get better is to take your best.
Like, I was just reading about the Red Sox top prospect. What's his last name? Is it Christian? He had that kind of situation where it's like, he plays every position. Like, you can literally put the guy anywhere.
Really?
Second base. He's the Ben Zobrist of the Red Sox.
That's the name.
And but the additions they made, so they're improving on the field, but you make a big splash like an Alex Bregman, fans know that name. You know, you bring in a Tyler O'Neill, and all of a sudden people look at it and go, oh, wait a minute, he might play 130, 120 games. He's always hurt. But you don't look at the other numbers and say, when he's healthy, and I know that's a when or if, the guy rakes.
He does rake.
And having a veteran bat in the middle of that lineup that's right-handed and not left-handed is huge.
He rakes.
They have a ton of left-handed hitters.
He is an unbelievable hitter when he is healthy. But the key is, like Jeremy said, when he's healthy. He's not always healthy. You talked about big college basketball games this weekend, Jeremy. Is this like the...
oh, man, tomorrow's awesome.
Just make a break week for anybody in terms of I mean, not getting into the NCAA tournament, but perhaps a legitimate seeding in the NCAA tournament? So, how important is it this weekend?
One of the teams I'm going to have my eye on is Tennessee. They get Vanderbilt this weekend. Tennessee wants to vie for one of those one seeds, but when you're looking at it right now, I think they're probably the one team that's the closest, but on the outside looking in.
Right.
When you look at Auburn, Alabama, Duke, and Florida probably being the top four teams according to most experts. But it's a really good team, but we've talked about this. At times, you watch them play and you're like, man, they are struggling to put the ball in the basket. The defense always shows up for them. So I'm interested in them. You brought up a team that nobody's been talking about, and I think they're way better than you think, is Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, I love them.
It's a really good team.
I love them.
Big matchup between Purdue and Wisconsin. Houston at Arizona tomorrow. We talked about 1 versus 2. I think Missouri's in trouble when they go to Georgia. We've talked about this. Georgia, really good home team. They've got 2 really big guards. And they defend well there, and they score. And Missouri's coming off of a big win. And again, Mississippi State, Mississippi, and even Michigan State at Illinois, to me, that's a great game. So if you don't, Kentucky at Texas, Kentucky just had a huge home win. They can't afford to have a tough loss at Texas, but they may just lose at Texas. So that's why the SEC has been so much fun to watch, because you have great games every weekend.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Great college basketball over the weekend. Last night, great women's game. USC knocking off previously undefeated UCLA, the number one team in the country. Juju Watson with Watkins with 36 points in that game last night. She had been struggling, but not last night. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Also, our Black History Moment of the Day on the Fan.
Jeremy,
you ain't down with Al
Green. You don't know nothing about Al Green. I do. Didn't his girl throw some...
hot grits.
Yeah.
Man, one day I was cooking grits, and a little bit of it popped up on my arm, and I just said, Jesus. And I didn't say it because it hurt my arm. I said it because I instantly thought of Al Green getting the whole pot poured on him.
It's like lava.
When I think
Oh, my God. Have you ever had grits hit you?
I have. It's
Jesus.
Make sure you wear long sleeves.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's funny because
this man had a whole pot of grits.
I think about him a lot because I think about Al Green around this time. You think about love and happiness and other things with Al Green. But, like, I mean, that's a panty dropper, right? I want to take my underwear off right now. Nobody else? There's got to be somebody in their car taking them off.
No, I can't see the bottom half of you from this side, so you might not have them. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it was easy to take them off without taking my pants off, too, so that should be a warning to some people.
God, man.
Yeah. Well, again, I love me some Al Green. Can't go wrong with some Sam Cooke. She was only 16. What, Sam? What are you? She? How old was she? You realize some of these songs?
Oh yeah, I know. I know. You sit and dance, and you say, "What? She was?
What the hell?
23." And that's the encore for the day. Jeremy has an art of making things really uncomfortable.
I just like to see how people react. Yeah.
I wanted to take mine off. Congratulations to Robert Taylor from Crofton, Wayne Watt from Baltimore, Jeff Schwartz from Sykesville, Mike Noble from Dundalk, and Eric Naraki from Baltimore as well. They are winners so far of the Metallica tickets. We have more next week to give away, right?
Yeah, next Thursday we're giving some away. Should I write like fake names on the board, like Gabe Athouse from Middle River? Gabe Athouse. No.
Man, just had to get one more in there for 9:55. Yeah, it's a 3-day weekend, so.
I know. Yeah. We don't want phone calls, Jeremy. Did Jeremy actually say, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to him at that time. You know I never pay attention to Jeremy. Yeah, but this is cool, man. Those Metallica winners or... That's not the name.
What?
Metallican?
Metallican, yeah.
According to the
concert Rashawn's going to.
He's going to Metallican concert. Yeah. He hit me on Facebook. I need to win some of those Metallican tickets for my girl.
He got himself
a
snow bunny.
He ain't trying to get no Metallica tickets for no dude.
Can you imagine his ass standing out there like just trying to rock out with him? What's this song called?
Master of Puffins.
Oh, rock man.
Out. We don't rock out.
I mean, yeah, hold on. If you've gone to a metal concert, there's definitely some brothers you've seen there. Like, where'd they grow up? There's no question. Like, you're into this? Okay. It's like when you. It's like any time when gym class. You remember in The Office? You said you started watching it when Michael Scott is picking his team, and he picks Stanley
for
because
the basketball
he's black,
game.
And then he starts dribbling like this, and he's like, "Oh, come on!"
Oscar's like,
totally swung and missed.
That's the one.
Oscar says, "Why don't you pick me? I will use your talents come baseball season, or if we box."
Oh, so good.
Now it's time for our Black History moment. Boys and girls, today you're going to learn about Chloe Anthony Walford Morrison. Many of you know her by simply Toni Morrison.
Oh.
She's an American novelist and editor. Her first novel, The Bluest Eye, was published in 1970. The critically acclaimed Song of Solomon, 1977, brought her national attention and won the National Book Critics Circle Award. In 1988, Morrison won the Pulitzer Prize for Beloved from 1987 and was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1993. Born and raised in Lorain, Ohio, Morrison graduated from Howard University in 1953 with a BA in English. Morrison earned a master's degree in American Literature from Cornell University in 1955. In 1957, she returned to Howard University, was married, and had two children before divorcing in 1964. Morrison became the first black female editor for fiction at Random House in New York City in the late 1960s. She developed her own reputation as an author in the 1970s and 80s. Her novel, Beloved, was made into a film in 1998. Morrison's work was praised for addressing the harsh consequences of racism in the United States and the black American experience. The National Endowment for the Humanities selected Morrison for the Jefferson Lecture for the U.S. federal government's highest honor for achievement in the humanities in 1996. She was honored with the National Book Foundation's Medal of Distinguished Contributions to American Letters the same year. President Barack Obama presented her with the Presidential Medal of Freedom on May 29th, 2012. She received the Penn Saul Bilal Award for Achievement in American Fiction in 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, Toni Morrison. Very familiar with her work. She did other books, you know, The Bluest Eye, Sula, Song of Solomon, Tar Baby, Beloved. She, very, very,
it's important.
Very good at what she does.
Yeah.
Like, did. She died in 2019.
No, I always like this hearing about. There are a handful of people that you know. Sometimes right. You'll recognize the name, but right. Some of the other stories. Great.
Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. This day in sports history, you'll like this one, Jeremy. Sugar Ray Robinson defeated Jake LaMotta.
Was for it the fifth the, time or
for
sixth
the,
time?
For the middleweight championship in 1951. And in 2019, Russell Westbrook, excuse me, had 44 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists for the 11th consecutive triple-double, which was an NBA record. 11 consecutive triple-doubles.
He's good. I like Russell Westbrook.
He was. What you got going on over there?
Yeah, so they say carrots are good for your eyes. But I don't know if you know this, alcohol will double your vision. I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now.
You're clean.
You know, once you've eaten at one food court, you've eaten at the mall. How does the hamburger introduce his wife? Meat patty. So dumb. I told my doctor that I've broken my arm in two places. He said, don't go to those two places anymore. How many women does it take to change a light bulb at a monastery? None. What is a wrench's favorite movie? Remember the Titans. Yuck. My wife asked me why I didn't buy her flowers for Valentine's Day. To be fair to me, I didn't know she was selling them. At the spa, they asked if I wanted their Valentine's Day special with a happy ending. Naturally, I said yes, so during the massage, we watched The Princess Bride. What did the cannibal get when he showed up to the party late? A cold shoulder. A doctor was examining his patient who happened to be hard of hearing. He put his stethoscope to her chest and said, big breaths. The woman replied, yes, but they used to be bigger. There you go.
Oh, man. We're going to see Captain America this weekend, me and Robbie.
I think I'm going to venture out at some point and see it, too.
I got to go see that, man. It looks very, very interesting. Hopefully the snow holds off tomorrow. Is it still snowing in the forecast for tomorrow, Joe?
It's supposed to be bad weather.
Just in the morning. Turn to rain.
Good. I hope it stays up because we will have a game against Pikesville if they don't shut things down.
I hope you guys get it in because that should be another good. I mean, that's two big. I mean, you've had a bunch of big games, but the past couple weeks.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Vinny and Haney up next. Cordell Woodland in, right?
Yep.
Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful weekend.